Maybe we should start with the Daily Guide this morning. Quite a number of interesting stories there. Who leaked my in-camera hearing? The former Chief Justice Sophia Akufo is fuming over that. She's unhappy also about the trial of the embattled Chief Justice. Oh, well, she's no longer the Chief Justice, Gertrude Torkornoo. And when it stands, she's proceeding to the ECOWAS court. We wait to see what the outcome will be. NPP calls for Chief Azoka and Alhaji Wahab's arrest, flowing from that confrontation during the Akwetia by-election. So the party is asking the IGP to act fast. Yoko picks up Kofi Akpaloo. The understanding is that that has been done together with his wife. We wait to see what more details Yoko will be giving us in the coming days. Ofanko Nsawam wrote deadline stands. That's according to President John Dramani Mahama. And Akwetia by-election doesn't reflect the... I think, Winston, I should use it here. Doesn't reflect the 2028 fate of the NPP. That's according to the General Secretary.
Well, we'll talk more about that. You know, I've been on Tuesday while I was leaving here. Somebody actually came to have a conversation with me around 11 p.m. On something I had said. So I think the guy probably was, you know, monitoring, followed up here. I'll tell you something after the online review. There's more to be said about the Akwetia elections, okay, and by-elections in general. Yeah.
Let's go to the new finder. August inflation down to 11.5%. Ghana rated medium risk for money laundering, and secondary bond markets drops 55% on investor caution, and BOG increases dollar supply to banks.
The National Enquirer: government pushes 24-hour economy with the Volta Economic Corridor program. Mahama urges Africa to lead in global solar revolution. And of course, the ISA president is in town, just had an interaction with him. It looks like there's some $200 million up for grabs for many of the African countries. Ghana is set to benefit from that African facility as well. So you can check that out on our socials. It's at Joy News on TV. Then Boss rebrands as Boss Energies. Winston, I don't know what you think about that, Boss Energies. Primpax was in new executives today, and Joyce Bar Mokhtari here, appointed as notary public of Ghana. Then there's inflation dropping to 11.5% in August, beating the end year target. So quite some good news there for the finance minister, and Dr. Kasiela Tofosin. He looks to be, he seems to be very quiet these days. We don't hear him talk as much as you'd expect him to. Probably he's working submarine way. Probably.
Well, he's always been quiet. You know, when you're a finance minister, everything you say matters.
Yeah.
And so you should be careful of the things you say. The challenge we find ourselves in now. Look, the rate of inflation, what you say is August inflation, is actually from the second week in July to the first week in August. So by end of this week would be the deadline for the calculation of the September inflation rate. So trust me, the rate of inflation in September also could probably see a reduction. However, there's a likelihood, if things remain as they are now, the rate of inflation in October could go up, and that's why we should start checking.
Now let's go to the Daybreak. Assemblies to submit monthly sanitation reports. You know, yesterday our sustainability man conversation was on waste to wealth. Now the assemblies have been told to submit monthly sanitation reports. That way we'll see how well they are doing in managing waste. Now Teshi Manche condemns homophobic violence and hate speech bill set for parliament. That story comes with a photo of Sam George. Now we also have George Opariado, KCL Atoforsen, and Ahmed Ibrahim on the front page of the Daybreak, and the headline says, Three Wise Men Probe Zoom Lion's 36 Contracts. And the final story on the front page of the Daybreak, Akwetia by-election loss, not a reflection of 2020. Same story Blessed gave us earlier. This is Justin Kodua-Frimpong, a.k.a. Super, the NPP's general secretary.
The archives has a relating story to that. Says three defeats in a row leaves New Patriotic Party in shambles. So it looks like the party isn't, it's not been too good for them in the last three by-elections. appetite for re-election vamooses, but arrogant posturing continues. Quite a hard stance there by the archives this morning. There's the talk about DVLA setting ambitious targets for themselves. 1.3 billion is their revenue target by 2026.
Okay.
Well, if you're doing re-registration, or I mean, as the CEO will point out, new number plates, probably they could raking some good money from there, because 3 million vehicles in all, we understand, will be through that exercise. So probably some cash could come from there. Bosa youth decry years of neglect. They claim there's no tarred roads, no tertiary institution, and it comes to the picture of Dr. Clementa Park. So looks like Doc has a lot of questions to answer this morning as the archives is putting out.
Now, I have the Hawk newspaper. There's a story on fraud on the front page, and there's also a story on Tokonu as well. Sacked Araba can't retain her seat on the bench, lawyer split on return, and CJ panel attempted with mouth-watering offers, but the panel held its ground. This is according to Imani's chief, Franklin Cudjoe. But there's a story on page 7 that really caught my attention. Ghana eyes Pakistan.
For what?
For quality imports amid production gap.
Ah.
And if you read the story...
We want to import what?
Rice.
From Pakistan.
That Pakistanis have given us a chance to look at their basmati rice, and we are looking at it. Once it meets our national standards, Ghana can enjoy. And this is quoting the Minister for Food and Agriculture, and he was at a rice roadshow in Accra. And he says, because we cannot produce enough rice, we may look to Pakistan for rice imports.
So, we can't produce enough rice. What measures is he putting in place to ensure we're able to meet our demand?
He says there are a lot of things we are doing to increase production locally, and that our production is just about 600,000 tons and we consume about 1.5 million tons. So whilst we look to bridge that gap, we are looking to countries like Pakistan for quality rice imports. But I know that as we speak, people who farmed rice last year into this year and have harvested in this country, they cannot sell. You know why?
Tell me.
Because the dollar dropped, and there have been a lot of imported rice in the system, and the imported rice is cheaper. I was telling you last week how I went to one of these shops to go and buy rice, and all the imported rice options were cheaper than the Ghana rice options.
Mm.
So what strategies are we putting in place to ensure the industry actually gets support and the imported rice doesn't cut off our farmers from the market?
Mm.
And how do we use public procurement to stimulate growth of the space so that this year, December, for example, I don't have to see imported rice being given to any state agency or quasi-government institution. If they are buying rice for their staff, it should be from local sources to put some financing in the system. Yeah, so that's the story that caught my attention, that we are eyeing Pakistan for quality imports, and this is largely rice.
I know the economic enclave project, which you played a major role in.
Yeah.
The whole idea was to make it easy for farmers.
Yeah.
Get land,
mm-hmm.
land that has been worked on.
Yeah.
You lease it,
yeah.
plant,
yeah.
and so you're able to produce more.
Yeah.
I've been to the Kusunya.
Kasunya.
Yeah. Kasunya enclave.
Mm.
What about the others? What are we doing there?
We need a lot of money to invest in infrastructure. You see, I've always been saying, look at the amount of money allocated to the Ofanko Road, for example. Mm. How much was stated in the discussions?
Well, from the Afreximbank Bank facility, $200 million was allocated to
yeah.
it. The discussion has also shown that an additional $146 million, the
if you,
total amount is about $346 million.
Convert that into cities.
That's in excess of 4 billion Ghana cedis.
How much money has been allocated to capital investments in agriculture?
Tell me.
To invest in infrastructure. And you see, agriculture is just like every other form of infrastructure. You need roads.
Mm-hmm.
You need land that you develop. You need water access, so irrigation, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You need warehouses. You need machinery. And I've been complaining personally as a farmer. It's been 2 months I've been looking for tractors to plow my farms. I'm not getting any to rent. We don't have enough. So I think that, yes, we may want to look at places to import stuff to bridge our deficits, but we are actually not doing enough to invest in our own food security and food sovereignty.
Hmm.
And as we speak, there's rice sitting in warehouses in this country.
Yes, it's
that
true.
Local farmers cannot sell.
So if I get you correctly, what you're saying is that we can actually enhance the production of rice locally if we are committed to it.
If the president announces that the government of Ghana has signed a $100 million or 100 million CD, let me use CDs, BOG says, contract with local rice producers to supply rice for school feeding, for state agencies and everything, okay? And these companies actually get contracts. They can take these contracts and go to the banks and take loans and grow the rice we want. We don't even need to go and borrow any money to turn around. And then we invest in land and infrastructure.
I thought the World Food Programme, when we started the school feeding, the idea was to eventually have local supply of all food.
I doubt that the food we are giving to school feeding across the various food item list, we have more than 50% local supply.
So you are saying that we're doing the same thing we do with everything.
From
we
fish, talk. Meat, everything. I doubt that we have more than 50% local supply.
So we are still doing talk, no action.
I doubt that we have more than 50% local supply for our school feeding.
Okay. Well, let's get into the online news review. Let's see what's on myjoyonline.com this morning.
Yes, myjoyonline. More on Akwetia. NPP's Richard Ahiagba blames Sofo Azoka. NDC violence for Akwetia defeat. Iyoko picks up Kofi Akpalu. Government settles contractor as Ofanko in Sahom Road races to June 2026 deadline. And Ahiagba is still here. He says if people had come out to vote, NPP would have won. We've heard this before, haven't we?
Well, the thing with a by-election is that unlike the main election, in a by-election, normally the governing party would look at, you know, the opposition party's stronghold and all of that. What you do, I mean, Blessed and Co were there. What you would do is that you can actually send a lot of military and police presence to their strongholds. And when people feel intimidated, they don't show up to come and vote. And also what you do is to make sure that in their stronghold, and in Akwetia, for instance, the NPP stronghold is Achimwenchi, New Wenchi, they call it, Wenchi. Now, at Wenchi, the NPP is always able to, you know, get about 70 to 80% of the votes in that area. So if you are the governing party, what you have to do is to try and reduce the margin of victory there. And one of the ways that, I mean, in Akwetia, there were allegations of votes buying here and there. There are some people that you people may have spoken to who indicated they're not going to vote Blessed unless they come and give them money.
And that's a sad spectacle because it's creeping deep into our politics now. It's like if you don't have cash.
No, it's true.
It's like you won't be valued at all.
So you see, and I've heard, you know, post the analysis that we did, I've heard people, if you go to, say, Buedua, for instance, that's supposed to be Asumedu's hometown. That's Asumedu's hometown.
But he lost.
He lost. And the reason the NPP chose him was that they knew they would get New Wenchi. And for some time now, a lot of their candidates have come from New Wenchi. It's their stronghold. And they got New Wenchi, of course, they didn't get the margins. But in Buedua, that is NS Kumi won in the last election. If you have Asumedu coming from Buedua and he's been helpful to the community, the expectation was that the community would turn out to vote for him. And so if they vote for him, then he would win. But the thing also is that you just don't have the expectation. You should try. This data. Go get onto the ground and find out what is happening. I mean, when I even spoke to some of the NDC people, they knew that a guy was very, you know, strong in his hometown. But what they did on the day was to go there and, like Blessed would tell you, incentivize the voters. Is that how you say it? Incentivize the voters.
I saw an interesting video like Kojo Brice was reporting and somebody was approaching.
Yes, with a lot of money, cash.
Yeah, you know when people...
Winston, that's why you find the NPP supporters hardcore ones. Of course, not happy at what was done to the individual, because they felt that, look, this is someone who employs a lot. He's into the mining space. He's giving you so much jobs. Why allow the government to come through and just promise you a number of projects and then you give the votes to them? I mean, they're not too happy about that. But I understand he wants to return in 2028 if given the opportunity.
Yeah. In fact, that is on my draw line.
Yeah.
He says he'll contest the Akwetia seat again if the party allows.
Okay.
So, I mean, so look, a lot of people have said things. Oh, and it tells you the youth are just... Look, the truth also, beyond... Oh, the youth will go... The truth also is that, as Dr. Edward Nasigiri Mahama said, money, moneycracy is the order of the day. You go into it, it's the pain. And they are promising projects. You can't do anything.
Mm.
We must find a way of dealing with money crisis in our politics. Anyway.
Let me give you some other headlines. Health Ministry is inviting proposals for supply installation of kidney treatment machines in our various hospitals. If you go to Kumasi, for example, Konfanoche Teaching Hospital CEO says that the Ministry of Health through the National Health Insurance Authority has committed itself to and commenced the procurement of the cath lab for Konfanoche. Remember that story we did where a doctor died because they didn't have the resources to save him.
Mm.
So that is my John line for you.
Okay, I think we can pick some stories on citynewsroom.com.
Okay, let me take you there quickly. If you go to citynewsroom.com, Mustafa Gbande says the NPP's candidate for Akwetiaba by-election was not fit for purpose. And government is also set to roll out solar-powered irrigation pumps nationwide.
And Roads Minister Kwame Governs Agboja. Good morning, Honorable Kwame Governs Agboja, and thank you very much for joining us.
Good morning, Winston, and good morning to your cherished listeners.
Great. So yesterday, you and the president were on the, Ofanko and Sawam stretch.
Yeah.
The president made a statement. He asked a question. How come that all monies have been paid and still the road is uncompleted, that the government has to pay more money? Mm-hmm. But the former roads minister says in the handing over notes, it was made very clear that the total cost of the road was $346 million and not $200 million that it got from the AfriExim facility. What do you say about that?
Well, first of all, I am very happy for this opportunity. Let me say that we acknowledge the frustration expressed by motorists using that corridor when the project was halted as a result of non-payment to the contractor under the New Patriotic Party, of which my good friend in Parliament, the former road minister, Honorable Asenso, was the minister. The project stalled under his watch. They didn't pay the contractor. But we understood the frustration, and the president took a decisive decision to make sure the contractor is fully paid to return to site. So we just went to the site, first of all, to make sure that the payment the contractor received, they are on site working to make sure that we remove the pain we all go through using that corridor. I thought my colleague would have commended the president for taking that bold decision and correcting the mess they left. Rather, he picked up on something. But even let's go to the point he made. The president made a point that the NPP said that road was a priority. And they took a loan of $750 million from AfriExim. And according to the former minister, my good friend, they allocated $200 million to that project. You are right, the total cost of the project is around $340 million.
Okay.
In the first place, why we were awarding a GOG-funded project in dollars, in clear contravention of the Bank of Ghana rules, is another matter we can discuss on a different day, because it is not a project that we should have been that way. Now, if he says they allocated $200 million, but on record, what the contractor was paid was $195 million.
Okay.
So that is another question he needed to ask, and he needs to respond to. How come you paid $200 million, yet the contractor received $195 million? President Mahama is not saying that the project is entirely paid for, yet the contractor did not work. He's saying, you said you prioritized it and they took a loan for that project. Is it the case that you took not enough loan, or you forgot about the scope of the work? So I'm not sure why, what he's, having a problem with that. Because at the end of the day, the person using that corridor today, his or her concern is the road has been abandoned. They want the road fixed. And that is exactly what President Mahama is doing.
Okay, because the president said, how come we've paid all the money for the road and the road is uncompleted. But in moving on, since you, I mean, we are interested in the completion of the road, now that the contractor is back on site, you say $195 million was paid to him. Under your tenure, how much has been paid to the contractor so far?
In excess of $77 million.
You've paid another $77 million?
Yes. So as of today, we don't owe the contractor a penny. Every certificate raised, which was outstanding before we came to power, based upon which they abandoned site, we have paid fully.
Okay. Now, are there any variations to the contract sum or anticipated variations?
I am not aware of any variation at this stage, but a project of that site, it is not unusual. And a variation can also doesn't necessarily mean an increase in the cost. It could also mean a reduction of the scope, mm-hmm. depending on the situation. So I am not aware of the delay as a result of any variation.
Okay. On that note, how much more is left to be paid the contractor?
Okay, the original contract sum, as I said, is $346,479,013.79. If we have paid as of today $273,587,396.10, it suggests that what is left to be paid is not that much, as a matter of fact, surely less than $100 million. But the important thing here is that the president, in the same statement, suggested that because the rest of the funding of the project is not known, is DOG not certain, he's directed that that project become part of Big Push so that we can sustainably fund the gap between what has been paid and cost to complete, so that we can complete them all within the shortest period of time. And the contractor at that site committed that by middle of next year, that should be done.
So what's the percentage of completion now? Now that we've paid in excess of $270 million, what is the current state of the road by way of percentage? Where have we reached?
Okay, the explanation given by the consultant helping the contractor is that we have done about 75% of the work, which means that we have gone past we have done the bulk of the work already, and that is the reason they are saying they will be able to complete somewhere around April next year.
Okay, if you look at the amount we've paid, that was about 78%, so 75% of it, not bad. So by end of June 2026.
So you could see that we are probably, the financial performance appear to be slightly better than even the physical work.
Yes, based on payments that have been done.
Yeah.
Okay, but let's look at, so now we're certain that that will be done. Yeah. There are other concerns. So now let's look at the scope. You talked about the scope. I just want to look at the scope. We know in the past projects, I mean, after the takeover, after a change in government, we varied scopes. You say when it comes to this project, has there been any variation to the scope of work?
No. We have not instituted, or we don't intend to reduce the scope or do anything. We are going ahead. And Winston, I think Ghanaians should take note of something. For the first time in the history, in our recent history, a government takes over and never asks contractors to stop work. We are doing an investigation and chasing contractors, taking them to Iyoko and other things. Nobody. In fact, and you saw me when I told the 16 regions, rather encouraging contractors, have faith in the state, have faith in Ghana, stay on site, work, we will pay you. So unlike the past, in 2017, when government automatically ask all Coco Road contractors to suspend work pending investigation, which some of them took 3 years and completely destroyed the road. President Mahama never asked any contractor to suspend work. He rather encouraged everybody to work. And in the same street, we are not actually intending, or we don't want to make life difficult for any contractor by reducing scope or anything. We are not doing that.
Great. So let's talk about the other roads. Now that we have you, because the moment we said you're going to speak to us, people started sending their messages. They were asking about, first, Adenta Dodua Road. Honorable Kwame Gavins Agbuja, where are we on that stretch?
Yes, another very important corridor started by our colleagues in the previous government, also stalled, just like more than 90% of the work. President Mahama directed that that should be incorporated as part of the big push. And even our colleagues in MPP had issues with that. That's why we saying Adenta Dodua is a part of big push, because it's stalled. If we left it like that, it will be become a disaster. So we will prioritize because people need it. So the contractor is beginning to mobilize to site. The good thing is that we have asked the same contractor to start looking at from Dodua through Afienya to Dawenya to connect back to the Temaflau road so mm-hmm. that we can have a very good connection between there. So for instance, if you are coming from Aflau and you live in Adenta, you don't have to come to through the Akratama motorway at all. You can just turn right at Dawenya, use that road all the way to Dodua, and then you are in Adenta.
Great. So that road project, when is the expected date of completion?
The contractor is now supposed to work with Highways to determine the rest of the work that is needed, and then they will come up with the period within which to complete. But all big push projects have a gestation period of only 24 months. So this will not be outside that. If they can do it in less than that period, we'll be happier.
Since this is an ongoing project, the assumption will be that it will be before 24 months. But currently, what is the level of percentage of work done on that road, if you know?
I don't have the exact figure, but I know they have done much of the difficult work, F-works, the duct drains, and a lot. The difficulty is that, Winston, if I tell you that that contractor was given that project of over $100 million, and if I tell you how much that contractor was paid after investing all that money, you'd be surprised.
How much has it been paid?
Used just their mouth to award the project and did little in terms of payment to contractors. The one just more is doing leading to Takoradi, also awarded by our colleagues, not a dime was paid. The contractor raised a certificate of $68 million. They didn't pay $1 before leaving. But guess what? They will be calling you, telling you, we awarded it, we awarded it. If it's just a matter of using your mouth to award projects, everybody can award projects, but the responsibility to raise the necessary fund to pay, that is what shows that you are interested in this job being done. So we will work towards making sure that we pay the $68 million that we owe to Josh Moore, who is doing that road work in Takoradi, and many other contractors who have worked and are yet to be paid.
So on this road, the Adenta Dodua Road, how much is owed the contractor?
It's owed almost all the amount of money in the contract, because what was paid to him is nothing to write home about.
How much is the contract worth?
It's over $100 million.
Over $100 million. And based on what you're telling us, we probably owe him just about $100 million because no payments have been made.
Very little.
How about the Dawenya Road? It's another one that you intervened, got the contractor to go to the site. What's happening to that road?
Well, there's something that we should all pay attention to in this country. That road from motorway to Central University, about 17 kilometers, traverses a corridor that is heavily populated. It leads to industrial area, leads to education installation, leads to big residential areas, and it's a growing area. And the traffic situation, I'm sure even somebody listening to you and I now, and which many people do in the morning, I would not be surprised they are frustrated by the nature of the traffic on that stretch. A few years ago, a decision was taken to award that contract under a supplier's credit to a company called BHM. At the time, we were in opposition, and I queried the capacity of that contractor at the time to do the work. Unfortunately, my prediction came to pass. Apart from the fact that the debt restructuring stalled the drawdown of the project, the project was not on schedule as of the time the situation happened. So we are in a bit of situation. The phase that BHM is doing is not complete, and then the phase two, which is the service road, is the one that we are awarding as part of Big Push. We are monitoring the situation to see whether the contractor, the BHM, which has received an amount of money for that, will return to site, because as of last week, I am aware they have totally suspended work. If they wouldn't come back to do the work, we are a sovereign state. We'll take the necessary decision to make sure that we complete that work in addition to the second tranche that First Sky is supposed to do. That is what we'll do, because Ghanaians expect us to take comprehensive decision to address their situations.
How much has he received?
I wouldn't know, but I know they received mobilization and something else, but I don't want to put out a figure which is not very accurate.
When was he paid?
Many years ago, at the time the project was awarded, long before 2024.
Now, talking about the lots, what's First Sky supposed to do and what's BHM supposed to do? So we just have an understanding where we are, who's supposed to do what and hasn't done it.
Yes, so BHM is supposed to do the service roads. So when you look at what they were doing, you realize that the main road is there, but the contractor was working on what you can call the site of the road, and then build some interchanges or flyovers. So from the Kung runabout, the industrial area, there will be a flyover that will take you as if you are going towards Michelle Camp. And then down from that place all the way to where the barrier for customs used to be, in the Honorable St. George's constituency, there will be another interchange there. Now, the second part is the main carriageway. So what Parliament approved for BHM did not include the main carriageway. The main carriageway meaning where we are driving now, because it's also in a very deplorable state. It's not part of the existing contract. So that is what we are asking First Sky to work on. So First Sky is not taking over BHM's project. BHM's project is there, their site is there, though they are not working. They can go ahead and finish their work. We'll pay them under the terms of the contract. So First Sky is doing a completely new project, which is different from what BHM is doing.
Now, help me understand, and I'm sure some of our listeners would want to understand also, is it the right thing to do in having one contractor doing the main work and you have another one doing the service lanes or road? Is that how it works?
There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, in many parts of the world, when you even want to put up a building, there's somebody who can come and do the foundation, somebody do superstructure, and a mechanical engineer, mechanical contractor can come and do the air handling systems, somebody can come and do electrical, someone can do finishes. But in this particular case, the scope is quite defined. If BHM were able to do the tranche one, maybe they would have been the one doing the tranche two. But look at the situation, Winston. They are unable to do even the tranche one. Do you and I have any hope that if we want to say they should do the rest of the work, we'll be able to get that issue resolved in reasonable time to bring relief to all the motorists using that corridor? I don't think that that is a hope we can rely on.
So just by way of clarification, who's doing the main road, who's doing the service road?
First Sky is doing the tranche 2, which is supposed to be the main carriageway. Basically, they are going to replace and then do the what we are driving now as a road will be done by First Sky. And then the we call it the side road, those other one service roads, and then the interchange will be is supposed to be done by BHM. But we have a situation where if it gets to a point and they sincerely can't even go ahead and complete the tranche one, we'll take a decision based on the provisions in the contract.
And what's the scope of that road, as in the main road? What's the scope? Door carriage, whatever. I mean, what's the scope of it?
Yes. the service roads are also dual on both sides, and then the main road is also a dual carriage.
Great. I mean, so lots of questions coming in already. Emmanuel from North Kanishi says, please ask the minister, when will the road from Ho through Agoti Mekwetwe to Aplau commence and be completed? Honorable Minister.
Well, from the bridge, if you notice, from Ashama Runabout, the previous government awarded the same situation to the Accra side of the Adomi Bridge. They are supposed to do that up to that place by INZAG. That is also caught up in the debt restructuring. But let me say that that contractor is still on site working somehow, not at the pace we expect because of the debt restructuring situation and relocation of services and other things. From the from when you cross the bridge, Adomi Bridge, to the other side, getting to heading towards part of Eastern Region and Volta Region, from the bridge all the way through Ho to through Petwe to Aflao is already part of a big push project. I think in about 6 or 7 lots. I must say that some of the contractors, some of the sections are a project that have been done and not completed. So you will notice that from this month, you will see the contractors working on that section all the way through Ho to Aflao. And Petwe, obviously, is part of it. There's a bridge which is not fit for purpose entering Petwe. Whenever it rains, the river overtops. Yeah. We are going to replace that bridge with a brand new bridge and dualize the road through Petwe all the way ahead.
Okay. Now, this question says, is there any reason why both sides of the Kaswa-Winneba Road are being repaired at the same time? I would assume one lane would be fixed, then the other lane. Honorable Kwame Agoja.
Yes, I've heard other people make that suggestion, but let's say that that one has been done already, where the strategy has already taken place. It's too late to reverse that, but we have all learned lessons out of that. So from Winneba towards Mankisin, you will see that we would adopt a different strategy to make sure that the main carriageway remains for motorists whilst we build the new alignment on the shoulders, so that there's no confusion whilst we do the route. So we've learned lessons from Kaswa to Winneba. That is why when we are doing Winneba to Mankisin, we'll do it differently.
Yeah, but how about the state of the Kaswa to Winneba road itself?
Oh, the contractor is on site. I must commend that contractor. Though they are also owed multi-million dollars unpaid, we are working to start retiring those bills as well. But I must say that is one of the contractors that kept working despite the fact that we still owe him money. And I always take the opportunity to thank every single contractor that was owed money. The situation is bad. Their banks are chasing them. But they had faith in the state called Ghana, which belongs to all of us. And they kept working, keep breaking their back. It is our responsibility to work as hard as we can to make sure we pay them whatever we owe them. Because we don't want the Ghanaian contractor to go under. Because if they collapse, that is unemployment that is going to bring. In fact, I want construction to be one of the strongest growth points in the economy, in economic data next year. That construction would grow the economy, which means that there will be more jobs, more activity in the economy, banking, and everything else.
Let's get to the Eastern Corridor Road, and Kwanta to Bimbila stretch. Honorable Agboja.
Okay, the Eastern Corridor, I think, became a household name under President Mills and President Mahama's presidency because it's such a critical road and that connects significant foodstuff growing areas in the on the eastern side of the country all the way to Tama, where we all consume food. And I keep saying, if you consume anything, yam, millet, anything today, chances are that it traversed the Eastern Corridor to get to you in Accra, Tama, and areas. Over the period, government, starting from President Mills, attempted doing this. We lost the 2016 election. It was abandoned. Later, the previous government restarted it. They've done part of it all the way to, I think, Have. But from there all the way through Hohoe, it's in a terrible state.
Yeah.
And then after, even through Hohoe, and then all the way to, I think, Jasikan. And then after that...
And talking about Jasikan, portions have become bad.
Which Jasikan?
Yes.
Oh no! Approaching Jasikan, you mean? Yes, that will be bad. But after Jasikan is okay all the way to a point, and then it started getting bad again. Approaching Pasa and Damanko, which has all stopped. But the good thing is that it's all part of the big push. Now the contractor who is supposed to work on the most terrible section is China Jiangzi,
mm-hmm.
Who is supposed to work from Pasa all the way through to
Otidamanko. How about the Dambai Bridge?
Dambai Bridge is we are almost done with the procurement, so that project will start shortly.
When do you envisage it will start?
The actual construct, well, it's going to be a design and build, so the contractor will take some time to come up with the design to be approved by Highways. But surely within this month, the procurement process will conclude and the contractor appointed for them to start that process.
Is it same for Adosso?
Yes, the Adosso will be the same.
And so, would it start this year? Now that you say
yes.
End of this month, so
this year, all of them will start this year.
All of them will start this year?
Yes.
Okay. How about Santase?
Yes, Santase runabout. The Kumasi interchanges.
Okay, you mean Santase runabout?
In Kumasi.
You mean the what? Some interchange?
So from Bekwai Runabout to Santase Runabout, it's a main link in Kumasi. There's some construction going on which are stalled. There's also the Swami and Sofo Line interchange related matters. Where are we with those?
The Swami interchange is suffering the same problem of the debt restructuring, and which means that we cannot draw down the commercial loan. In fact, we spent part of the $750 million Afrexim on that project, but still it is not enough. It is now part of the additional big push project, and I must say the contractor is on site. The announcement that it is part of big push has given them a new hope, so they are working on site, so that will also be completed. At least the phases that are in focus now will be completed, and as you know, we are trying to do a bypass when you are coming from Accra at Ejisu to connect back to the road leading from the Swami interchange towards Mampong, so that we can take away heavy traffic leading into Kumasi, especially those who don't intend to do anything in Kumasi. They will do a diversion at Ejisu, okay. and then go up north.
Talking about bypass, contractors who are working on the bypass awarded previously, the last time you were here, you indicated they were going to be paid their funds. Has that happened?
No, I didn't. The Kumasi bypass?
Yes.
No, my comment was that the before the exit of the previous government, they awarded that project at a cost of $1.9 billion to a number of contractors. And by the time my good friend, the former road minister, left office, they came up with a variation of $1.7 billion. He did not approve it. So I was hoping that whilst he was having time talking to you about the comment made by President Mahama, I think you should call him and ask him that what was the reason for the project, which is $1.9 billion, ballooning by another $1.7 billion, and how come he didn't approve the variation before leaving office? If he gives you the answer, I will pick something from the answer to give you a better understanding of the way forward.
Honorable Minister, there are lots of questions, but I just would probably do the last one.
I would find another time.
Please find time.
I will do the last one, fine. But I will find another time for us to have
Yes, and come to the studio, because the Busa areas have also raised questions. They say there are no tarred roads, Tempani, no tarred roads. If you go to my district in Poho, similar situation. So let's find time. And come, next week. Next
Winston,
week. Honorable.
I get amazed when everybody in the country is complaining about road. But we had 4 years of road. So the question is, what did we do with those so-called years of road?
Mm.
Upon which, as we speak, at transition, we were told road fund was owed, road fund owed contractors 5 billion. Winston, that money in reality today is over 7 billion.
Mm.
The GOG component was 21 billion. Winston, it is over 30 billion now. So when we say we owe contractors, let's say 30, 40 billion, people keep asking, what did we actually spend the money on? The answer should be directed at my colleague, the former road minister, and the government.
Okay.
What did you spend the money on?
While we wait for them to answer that question, I at least would, since you say we should find another time, is Monday okay for you in studio? We have that conversation.
Winston, you know, I'm a man of my word. I don't want to give a promise and not keep.
Okay.
I came to the office this morning at 6:30. In fact, there's somebody sitting in front of me for a meeting whilst I pick your call, because I know it is very important conversation to be had. I would call you after the program. We have an appropriate time to have further conversation.
Okay.
But I am happy when the country engages on roads, because I believe that everybody deserves better roads in their community, because it is a catalyst to our economic development, whether agriculture, tourism, healthcare, or education. We need it in a good state to be able to spare the growth we all want.
Mm. Honorable, we understand that you'll be putting up a dashboard on roads, maybe on your website, where people can just go and see all the road contract status, payments, and all those things. When are we going to see that?
Yes, we want to do that. In fact, there's somebody trying to help us, and we need to do that in collaboration with Ministry of Finance, and for people to be able to even send us links. Currently, every evening before I sleep, I get dozens of videos and pictures of bad roads and everything from people's communities, and then I have to unfortunately wake my staff off in regions and tell them, what is this, what can we do? It is necessary. It is a positive feedback. It is not nuisance at all for me.
Okay.
So we want to actually make this a proper dashboard that people can actually communicate their situations. And also, when things are better, they can also say that, oh, it's been fixed. So we are going to do that. But I am unable to tell exactly when the dashboard and all those things will be, because it takes more than just... I wish. We need to put in the necessary procurement and then design of the system and interlinking with Ministry of Finance and other agencies for it to become a durable platform for us to interact.
Honorable Kwame Gavin Zagboja, thank you so much for making time to speak to us this morning. We're grateful.
I am also very grateful for the role you play in making sure that the activities of the road ministry and the concerns of the general public are not ignored, are taken on board, so that together we can fix these problems for ourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you also. Do have a lovely day. That's Roads Minister Kwame Gavin Zagboja.